The Higher Ed Conference Committee will come to order. I am Ms. Oh, my God. It's been too long the day. And I know Senator Last was here, and he went to get Senator Erickson ropes. And we have before us the A32 amendment, which has been distributed to the members and the audience. All right, let's distribute it now, which is the compromise on the dental provision.
Yeah.
You want this? Yeah, we've got extra copies. This is the, and this, these are the provisions right here. As long as they only get us the dicey votes. Do the members have copies of the A32 amendment? Okay, Senator Lynch, why don't you, do you want to go through the amendments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, I will give you the highlights of what appears in the A32. To begin with, the new practitioner in Minnesota will be a dental therapist. We provide for you can first be a dental therapist, and there, with some further training and experience, there are opportunities afforded to be an advanced dental therapist. Dental therapist, an advanced dental therapist, will have, there are no stipulations about which institution will or may offer these programs, so opportunities are afforded to all of our institutions. There's further clarification in the amendment. I'll direct your attention to page 6 that further clarifies and addresses practice limitations. There's further description and parameters around extractions. There's further direction that talks about if the dental therapist is in a position where they have a patient whose needs exceed their scope of practice.
Just a minute, Senator Lynch. Senator, Representative Rucavina.
Madam Chair, I see that Representative Powell is here. Could he come up and sit with us, since he had a lot to do with, and maybe if there are questions we can ask him too?
Just gonna be in the audience.
No, come in. And we certainly would welcome Senator Putner Solon and Representative Norton if they could to join us. Okay, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Powell, welcome. So that it provides direction that the practitioner will refer the patient to another dentist or specialist. There's parameters that further describe the collaborative management agreement, particularly in the area of what do we do in a case when there might be an emergency situation. There is further description on the bottom of page 6 with regard to prescribing authority, dispensing, and administration of that. And, Madam Chair, I think that it would be appropriate to thank Representative Powell, Representative Norton, Senator Putner Solon. This has been a big project, and so I thank them all for their leadership on this. I think it's a
appropriate to once again thank the Commissioner of Health for helping us to stay focused on the issue that we are trying to address, and I am appreciative of bringing this document to you that I believe represents the good that can happen when all parties come to the table in good faith. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come and comment on the 832 amendment? Any support for the 832 amendment? For opposition to the 832 amendment? Everyone's quiet? Yes, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Lynch, maybe you could help me, but one of the reasons that we were talking about the oral health practitioners was because we thought that they would be able to provide lower cost care for higher dental services because their education would not be so expensive, so that they didn't come out of school with loans of $130,000 each, and that they could actually work for less money than most dentists could. And I'm wondering, this looks like there's a lot of education required to become a dental therapist, and you have to have graduated from a master's degree dental therapy program even to go into an advanced dental therapist practice. And I'm wondering if we're going to be able to keep this affordable so that we don't end up in the same boat we are with dentists, that they feel they have to charge more for their services because they have to recover the cost of their education.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, good points, and you know, and this committee knows, one of the challenges along the way has been in dealing with the desires and intentions of our public institutions. And it might be helpful if I could have someone from MNSCU come forward at this time and talk a little bit more about the, you know, they've been here every day.
What about Mrs. Candrette?
Mrs. Candrette, maybe you can comment on
what the educational path is. I'm interested in.
How about Mr. Cook? He's going to be at the page, isn't
it? That's fine.
Yeah. Madam Chair, my name is Michael Sandrett, and I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Safety Net Coalition, and feel it's important that anything that we say to the committee, we all say as those of us who have reached agreement on the proposal. And as I understand the question, it's about the level of education required under the compromise proposal.
The cost.
There are actually two programs.
Introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, Dominic Scuzzetto. I represent the Minnesota Dental Association. There are actually two programs that are contained in this proposal. One is the dental therapist program, which would be a very simple, I shouldn't say simple, but an undergraduate program that someone could come right out of high school and go into the dental therapy program and through a 3 or 4 year curricula come out as a dental therapist.
Would that give them a BS degree or anything?
We're considering it to be a baccalaureate degree, yes.
Okay.
So they would have a baccalaureate degree in dental therapy.
Dental therapy, okay.
And after some practice, then they could enter into an advanced dental therapy program, which we believe would be a master's program taught at either of the institutions. And depending on their experience, they could go through their program in a relatively short period of time, anywhere from a year to 2 years, I believe, and then they would be an advanced dental therapist. So it's sort of a, if you consider it a ladder, for an undergraduate training program, sort of like a nurse, and then we'd have the advanced program, sort of like a nurse practitioner. So we're doing two things at once, and I think the dental therapist would be a fairly inexpensive program as an undergraduate degree.
And the cost? The cost is comparable to the institution?
Madam Chairman, I don't think I can speak to the cost because I don't know what the curricula is and how that's developed.
I don't know. Senator Roebling.
Well, I know that MNSCU did testify that for the undergraduate program, the tuition would be similar to their other baccalaureate programs. I don't know what level or could be eligible to offer the advanced practice. One of the things I do have a little concern about is if they want to come back and become advanced therapists, and there aren't many places to do that, we might draw them out of the rural areas unless one of those schools in a rural area could offer the advanced practice, because they have to practice for at least a year as a regular therapist before they can come and become advanced practice dental therapists. So they would have been in the field, then want to come back. And I'm just wondering about, too, where it would be available if places like Bemidji or someplace in rural areas might have that as well.
Senator Lynch. Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Roebling. I think you bring up a good point, and hopefully these will all be things that Minsky and the university will want to consider as they are putting these programs together. I think it's important for us to remember that we don't have this today existing, and so I know that both institutions have been working feverishly to put their thoughts together in this. One thought that comes to my mind, Representative Rukavina, at Hibbing, there's already a collaboration between Hibbing and the University of Minnesota in the area of oral health. So this might be an opportunity to further expand that in some kind. So this does no longer build on the dental hygienist qualifications? Or would some of those courses be applicable to this program?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe Dr. Brickles could answer that.
Yes, but if
just say your name for the record,
okay,
please.
Colleen Brickle. Just to let you know that the one NICU model, it does, and even at the university, the baccalaureate is going to be with dental hygiene students for some of the courses of the dental therapist. So yes, they do. You can merge it with career laddering. Absolutely.
Representative Rukavina.
Brickle, if you have gone to school to be a dental hygienist and then you go back, what is the tuition going to be and what's the cost? I don't think I never got to the bottom with Senator Roebling.
Dr. Brickle.
Representative Rukavina. It'll approximately be, I would, around $32,000, and if you think about doing the basic dental procedures that they'll do, it's much more reasonable than a dentist. Of course, they won't be doing to the top of the license of a dentist, but they can get those services done and prevent more extensive work that needs to be done that could, like, further the decay and just go into crowns and bridges and more extractions. So it's kind of it's primary care.
So that would be a 4-year program.
I was looking at the 2-year Metropolitan State hygienist.
Which is 2 years already having been taught somewhere else.
The baccalaureate hygienist will go into it. A baccalaureate degree is completed at Metropolitan State after, let's say, Normandale Community College. They take 2 years part-time. It's about 20 or 32 credits at about $200, $250 a credit, and then they do the master's. So I was looking at the whole thing, pretty much $35,000, $36,000. And that's laboratory fees, expensive getting some of the equipment they might need to do as dental therapists.
And that's for the licensed dental therapist or for the advanced?
For the advanced.
For the advanced.
Yes.
Okay.
The way we structure
so it includes the master's. Representative Rukavina.
So I know, and I don't know if this question is to Senator Lynch or to the testifiers maybe, but by the way, Senator Roebling, the bill that got vetoed yesterday, we're reopening that bill soon, the economic development bill, we split the barber and cosmetology board. Maybe we could have the barbers do this, like the old days, a little cheaper back then. But now it's period in the board. They used to do a good job years ago. That's why the red is on the bowl. But anyway, is there anything in the bill then that actually stipulates that these people, whether they're trained at the university or at
through the Menzies system have to serve in an underserved or a rural setting. So that's still part of this whole deal.
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, yes, and it doesn't appear in your amendment because it was in the bill. And if you just give me a second, I can direct you to that. But yes, most
I trust you. I just
absolutely
wanted to know that.
Mr. Chair, on page on page 5, there was some language about that gross family income of less than 275%, but I don't know if that was applicable or not.
What section does it amend? What page?
And then finally, Madam Chair, another one while we're looking at that. For anyone in the audience, Senator Lynch, now we've got peace in the valley. The governor isn't going to veto this bill because we've got this new advanced dental therapist or dental therapist in the bill, is it? Mr. Vito, do you know whoever?
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, first to answer your first question on R78, it talks about the limited practice settings, low income, underserved dental health professional shortage area.
It's also on R63.
In regard to the governor, so long as we have been working on this initiative, Commissioner Magnin has been really stellar in her leadership on this issue. And at no time along the way have we had any concerns shared by the administration about this proposal. In fact, I think Commissioner Magnin would argue that this is really a good opportunity for Minnesota, and we are really showing leadership, not only in the state, but in the country.
Senator Lass.
Madam Chair, I guess to either of the witnesses, if someone is already practicing as a dental hygienist, what would be involved in them going back to school to qualify to be a dental therapist?
Dr. Brickle.
It would really depend if they were associate level or baccalaureate. If they weren't, you'd have to take about 30 credits to get to the bachelor's degree or the therapist level, and then they do the master's, which is 44 semester hours. But they could do it and work at least part-time during the baccalaureate, and then the master's program is pretty full-time because it's for 2 days a week. So it's kind of nice because they can keep up their dental hygiene skills as they're learning these additional skills.
Madam Chair.
Very last.
But the education that they received to become a dental hygienist would start them higher up on the ladder to becoming a dental therapist. I would anticipate there would be quite a few dental hygienists who see this as a career opportunity and would go back to school to get into the pipeline faster than folks just graduated from high school.
Madam Chair, Senator Latz, I think that your assessment is correct, and over the last number of years, I've gotten a communication from dental hygienists who are watching this very legislation with great interest, with the intent and the desire to, you know, when is this going to happen, because I'm interested in pursuing that career ladder.
Madam Chair, just to follow up, right now there isn't any intermediate level for them to achieve, is there? I mean, they're dental hygienists, or they'd have to go back to medical school and become a DDS?
Mm-hmm. That's an advanced dental hygienist.
Is it an advanced hygienist?
At this point, right now, there isn't. They would go to dental school, but they could get their master's in education or research or public health. Not using clinically things like this.
Okay.
Senator Roebling.
Will the advanced dental therapist be able to do prescriptions?
Who would like to answer that? Mrs. Kandrick.
Madam Chair, Senator Roebling, the way that if the compromise language is drafted, there would not be prescriptive authority in the advanced practice dental therapist. We're anticipating that there will be some very expedited waves of the supervising dentist and the advanced practice dental therapist working together so that it will be very easy for them to recommend medications and get the medications to the patients quickly. But that's one of the things that we all, I guess, weren't quite ready for is the actual authority to write the prescriptions as the advanced dental therapist.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Spicetto, did you want to say anything?
No, ma'am. Nope. I just wanted to say that that would be part of the collaborative management agreements that the dentist works out with the practitioner and how that would function, how that would work.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you, everyone. This was a very difficult negotiation, and I'm really pleased that you came up with an agreement. Typical with an agreement, not everyone is happy because you don't get 100%, but I think that Minnesotans who need dental care are going to be very, very well served, and this will be a model in the country. I know other states are already looking at what we're doing here in Minnesota, and to have it happen in 2 years is a miracle. Well, it's not there yet. We haven't passed it yet, but let's hope that our colleagues on the Senate floor agree if this could prevail today in conference committee.
Notified that we're coming out of caucus and we're going on
we need to move
floor to talk about that new tax bill. So
okay, Senator Lynch,
she
has to move her amendment first.
To the full amendment?
Yeah, just for 32.
Oh, okay.
Senator Lynch?
Madam Chair, I would move adoption of the Age 32 amendment.
Is there any discussion? Then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. And Mr. Chairman, I would like to renew my motion from last night.
Can you go over the numbers?
I'd be happy to go over them. It is on your Senate proposal number 2, dated 5709,
mm-hmm.
number 15,
yes.
number 21,
mm-hmm.
number 26,
mm-hmm.
number 34, mm-hmm. number 38. Sorry, it's just the same as last night.
34, I lost it.
All right, 15, 21, 26, 34, 38, 40, 44, with the bovine TB money added, and no specified dollars, as it says in the offer, 47, 53, and 76 as amended. Senator Lapp.
Madam Chair, I wonder if Representative Rukavina has had a chance to reach a conclusion regarding the criminal records amendment that he seemed comfortable with yesterday but wasn't quite ready to say he would agree with.
Without the amendment?
I recall the amendment. I don't have a problem with it myself, and I'm always trying to accommodate Senator Lax. But I think the House has been extremely generous and especially accommodating the whole issue of the dental thing. And you guys should give us a couple on the central office here, is the way I look at it. Otherwise, we're losing our negotiating power.
I think we just need a little more discussion on that, maybe an amendment.
You've got to be kinder to me, Senator.
Maybe
I'm under a lot of stress.
Maybe if you're taking fishing, it might soften me up.
I'll let you go with the covenant tomorrow.
I am.
My understanding is they planted fish in White Bear Lake so we could catch a few.
Madam Chair?
It's their last.
It sounds like then perhaps a suggested additional provision in your amendment to include number 50 might be acceptable to the House. I'd ask if you consider that.
Sarah Lacks, we'll take your program, and I think there's some concern with both the Mintz and the private and the university, but I don't really think it's the
You need to know what the amendment is, though. Yeah. What the Senate amendment is, it says to be determined.
No, the one that you have that show, you showed to Representative Rubina.
What's my amendment?
Yeah, that looks
It has no number on it?
Right. Hasn't been officially drafted.
So
you have it, and that was my understanding. It's a mandate, and I like it because it tells people what to do. It's just the right discipline by legislature. So I'm more than supporting.
So Senator Lassiter's I'll incorporate number 50 with the last amendment into my motion. Okay. Any other discussion? Senator Roebling, have you seen it?
Madam Chair, I'm just hoping that, you know, the private schools who have traditionally not been mandated to do these things are going to be okay with it.
I don't know that they're okay with it.
Well,
Mr. McMahon?
Well, Madam Chair, well, Mr. McMahon is coming up. We do mandate a few other things in order for them to get the students to be involved in the student program, and I mean our grant program. So, Mr. McMahon, I think you can.
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, you're right that we still do have some opposition to the language. If you actually look in Chapter 136, and there is a deal with the state grant program. The language there actually doesn't require us to participate in the data sharing, things like that. It requests that private colleges do, but it's not required in those contexts.
Senator Lass, could you withdraw your amendment? I think the House needs to go.
We're under call.
Yeah, so I'll withdraw the number 15.
All those in favor.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, the committee is adjourned for the day.